In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have probably heard of the classic Murphy's Laws. They are recorded in Horace Schupkegel's A Guide to Get Along at Concordia Seminary, Fort Wayne. In any field of endeavor, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Left to themselves, things always go from bad to worse. If there is a possibility of several things to go wrong, the one that will go wrong is the one that will do the most damage. Nature always sides with the hidden flaws. And if everything seems to be going well, obviously you've overlooked something. Murphy's Laws, we often tend to think that way, even in our life here on a seminary campus. But God calls you and me to a different approach in our faith walk. Indeed, instead of cynicism or negativism, God calls you and me to risk and to dare in our lives, and He promises us that He will empower us to walk on the water in faith and not in fear. As Paul wrote the Philippian Christians, chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, as certain changes come into your life about 7 weeks from now, these confront you, these new challenges. For me, simply to say, be courageous. Exercise your freedom by being a daring, risking person. Doesn't necessarily mean you will do it. People don't just do things because they ought to do them. To know is not to do. And we're at all different stages of spiritual growth. And at times we need the growth of withdrawal in our Christian life. But there are some exciting chapters in the lives of those persons who have dared for God. And one can readily see what one may be missing in not living the adventure of a courage-filled life with God. Most of us think of Abraham Lincoln as a man of great vision and courage, but little do we know or remember that his early life was marked by repeated failures. He failed as a candidate for the legislature, failed in business, failed in running for Congress, failed to get an appointment to the U.S. Land Office, and failed in seeking the vice presidency. He might not have done very well here at the seminary. But from these defeats, he gained more in strength and determination than he did discouragement and despair. And one can study the lives of many of the world's greats and see that most of them experienced failure and profited from it. What happened was that they gained a new perspective on life and developed perseverance in the face of seeming defeat. The blackest days of Thomas Carlyle's life began when his friend John Stuart Mill walked into his study one morning and said, "I don't know how to tell you this, but you know that manuscript you gave me to read? The maid used it to start the fire this morning." Sort of the feeling you get when you punch the wrong button on the computer. Carlyle says at first he alternated between rage and grief, but finally settled into deep despair. And then one day he said, "I looked out my window and I saw some bricklayers at work. It came to me that they were laying brick on brick, and just as they did that, so I could still lay word on word, sentence on sentence." And with that, he began to rewrite the French Revolution. The work he persevered in endures to this day as a classic in its field and a monument to the kind of courage that alone can conquer despair. But for the Christian, developing courage is much more than just cultivating certain qualities. It's seeing the source of our courage, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who alone gives us the strength which we do not have of ourselves. I am saying the secret of being free to dare in your life lies in letting God in Christ give you a perspective, a perseverance, and a principle that enables you to have the courage to risk when you would usually be satisfied with the status quo. Of course, that new situation that's in front of you at first looks very threatening. It means letting go of the old. It's like a new trapeze bar that swings towards you. You have to let go and reach out. This is what people have paid millions of dollars over the years to see. Not a little guy up there on a trapeze going back and forth, but for that one split second when he lets go and reaches out for the other bar. Are you willing to make that reach? Are you, by the power of the Holy Spirit alone, willing to leave behind what may be a crippling anxiety or a deadening routine in your life for what could be an enhancing new freedom and a joyous creativity? Now, I intend this as no trite, moralistic little talk here this morning. This is not moralism. It was our Lord who said, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Now, is that some kind of glorification of failure and suicide? Of course not. God calls you to run risks. If your life is ever to break out of the chains of mediocrity and failure, God calls you to stop being stingy with your life and give it without reservation to our blessed Lord and to your neighbor, to your classmate. God calls you to give yourself in trust to Him who has been there before you and who says, "Now follow me." God shall supply all your need. Look at the risk our blessed Lord took when He died for you. Was it really worth His while? He knew what He was doing when He laid down His life for you. "No one takes it from me," He said, "but I lay it down of my own accord." It wasn't fate or circumstance or duty that wrenched that decision, but this who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross and emptied Himself and became obedient unto death. Jesus Christ died for your and my sins. He is the only Savior of the world, the only way of salvation. And now we are to repent of our sins, also our past sins of not risking and not daring for Him and His kingdom, and receive His forgiveness. And now God calls you to risk and dare in your life and what lies ahead of you. But you do not do it on your own, as the scripture says, "For there is nothing in us that allows us to claim that we are capable of doing this work. The capacity we have comes from God." 2 Corinthians 3:5. And again, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And this sufficiency is supply when we first of all exhibit the conviction, empowered totally by the Holy Spirit, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Few people know that the Gloria Patri, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit," which we sing in our services, was really based on the death march song of the early Christian martyrs. They knew they would die, but they faced their end with conviction, knowing that they had believed and persuaded that He was able to keep that which they had committed unto Him against that day. So the source of our faith is God Himself in Christ. And Christ speaks to us through the means of grace as we pray to Him. In our searching of the scripture with an open mind and a penitent heart. In our reliving of our baptism every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. In our receiving our Lord's body and blood in the precious Holy Communion for the forgiveness of our sins. The more you risk, the more you let go of that one trapeze bar and reach out for the other, empowered by the Spirit, the more you are driven to those means of grace. But then Christ's promise is fulfilled in you. Do not lose courage, for it brings with it a great reward. And you will be able to say with Paul, "I have done my best in the race. I have run the full distance. I have kept the faith. And now the prize of victory is waiting for me, the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who wait with love for Him to appear." So the end of the school year is around the corner, and a great change in life is ahead for many of you. What is God calling you to dare for Him in your life? He giving you the forgiveness for the past, and alone giving you the power for the future. Will I be able to get along with my pastor supervisor on Vicarage? Will I really be able to make it in a parish on my own? Throughout the Old Testament, God had to make his prophets know who was in charge of their ministry. He did it to Elijah in the Old Testament. In the book of Job also, God had to set Job straight as to who was in charge in his ministry. Then came the great hinge of the book, those key words, and then God answered Job. I am God. Let God be God. I am the creator. You are the creature. And Job placed his hand on his mouth. But then Job later responded, will these be your words as your call is handed to you? I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. God had said to Job, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? And then later Job replies, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Will yours be that strong confidence instead of Murphy's laws? Will you dare to walk on the water in faith, knowing that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? By the power of the Holy Spirit, what will it be in these next days for you? And for you? And for you? And for thy gospel, let us dare to sacrifice all treasure. Teach us to bear thy blessed cross, to find in thee all pleasure. Oh, grant us steadfastness in joy and distress, that we thee ne'er forsake. Let us by grace partake of endless joy and glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.